Hallelujah. Well, isn't this fun? Thank you, Lord. So just for your point of reference, the anointing that I was able to walk through this morning, as that oil is poured out upon you, then you let it receive also the anointing of God in this place. And let it begin to be absorbed in you, through you, and among you. And don't be surprised if over the next couple days you just start squeezing out oil droplets, because you'll reach a point of saturation as the anointing of God on your life begins to really course through you. And you become a knowing participant of what He's doing in this region at this time. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So the bigness of God and the fullness of God. It's so funny to try and articulate, because language becomes such a formidable barrier. So, with your permission, I'm just going to spend the next couple moments speaking to your spirit man in the heart of the issue. Every tribe, every kingdom, every tongue, every language, every nation, every part of creation will hear the proclamation that Jesus is Lord. Do not allow the integrity of the pure word of God to be merely interpreted by human understanding, but allow that word to be written on the very core of your being. For your awareness, every breath is from me. Every step I order. Every conversation I speak and hear. We're entering a time where we don't have to define everything that we do. We just need to do it. We're entering a time, and I say time, I don't have that word. Time is for our benefit. Time isn't a spiritual thing. Time is for our benefit at this moment. God's eternity. So when I say at this time, I'd like to say it without that actual word, so that you could understand that when I say at this time, I really want to say at this present impartation of power. But for our understanding in Oz Breaking Walls, for our understanding, I have to use the word time. Right now, as resident aliens in Earth suits, we are embarking upon a journey of eternity that I'm not sure history has ever recorded such a demonstration before. It's time for us to be what we are. And that means sometimes we're just going to have to yield. Yielding to God will never undermine the authority of the day. God's not going to tear down a place that's learning to walk with Him. So understand when I say sometimes we're just going to have to be. It will always be in agreement with what the Spirit of God is doing in a particular place or people. He's not going to send us in to speak a word of judgment to some body of believers that is truly, sincerely seeking Him. But He may tell us to go and invade their space with the love that we house. And how you would do that and how I will do that are a completely different one from another. I just can't wear your shoes. They don't fit me. But we're entering a moment in eternity that is so saturated with the presence of God. Can we have that music playing, Pastor? Can we have that music playing in the background on the CD? Anyone? Okay, the one that I gave you, it's called For Such a Time as This. How appropriate. God's not in a hurry because He's eternal. He is and was and is to come. And we can't fathom that, so don't worry about it. Let it go. It'll come back to you when you need it. He wants to impart to us the ability to transcend our normalcy to enter into where He dwells and pick up what we need, not just for ourselves, but for everyone we meet for the course of that day. We should wake up with a specific intention of seeking God on purpose for what's needed for that day, like a daily manna. When we wake up, we should purposely enter into eternity and take the food and the provision for that day and take what we need for ourselves and have the ability to take the abundance of the rest in a way that we can give it out. And it's a day by day. We can no longer store up revelation from today for the rest of the week. We've got to come into intimacy with the Father day by day, moment by moment. So don't try and get enough direction for the whole week. Do you really want to be responsible to remember all of that? It's just so much more work. So pick up what you need first thing in the morning. Enter the throne room. Enter that place of awe and hush. And pick up your provision for the day. And consume what is yours, what you need for your day. And then squirrel away the rest of it for your day's journey. And give it to those who need it. It's time that we practice. It's time that we allow the Word of God in us to churn and boil and overflow. It's time to encounter the Lord. His smell, his scent, the heat of his breath, the delight of his touch. The depth of his understanding. We should enter the throne room with a capacity to carry what anyone we meet in the course of that day will need. That we can become distributors of the presence and glory of God. Our daily flow, our daily walk of life comes through intimacy with our Lord and Savior. Allow him to love you. Big love. Big time love. It's time to begin to pray into what we want our world to become. We really don't need to verbalize the problems anymore. We really don't need to go through the history of all that we've walked through. It's already in the books. It's already written. But from this breath on, we are now authors of history yet again. We are recording history today. We can either completely envelop this day and enjoy it to its full capacity, or we can rehearse and review what has been. Or we can look forward to what might be, but if we spend all our time looking forward, how much of this day will we really experience? If I'm always in what I want to be, what am I accomplishing with what I am? And there's a clue. What does God say? I am. Now faith is our power, our authority, our fullness, our revelation, our comprehension operates in this present time. The biggest faith you've ever had is right now, because now faith is. The biggest comprehension and understanding you've ever had is right now. Now faith is. This present moment today is the day of salvation. This is the day where you are the biggest, fullest Christian you've ever been. Because this is the day where your authority dwells. God knows tomorrow. History's already been written. This is the day where you walk in your power. It's not what you'll come to next. That's just a roadmap. That's our GPS, our God's provision and sovereignty, to tell us where we're going. But we can't live with that. We live in today. We move in today. We have our being in today. Now, right now, with this breath you're taking, is the most powerful you've ever been before. It doesn't matter if you feel it. You are it. Your feelings will come along. They have a way of doing that. Our success is intimacy with God. It's not gauged by what we accomplish. I don't know if it's really measured at all on earth. But our success is intimacy with Him. No one from the outside of you can see the transformation taking place every moment with every heartbeat. Nobody else sees the transformation of your heart. We all live by the fruit of what you share, because we're known by our fruit. We have to take time to pray, and there's that word again. It's kind of like knocking on the door. Lord, can I come in? Seeing His beauty, His perfection, His glory. Smelling the aroma of His presence. That heartbeat of love of who He is. He doesn't want us to hear it only. He wants us to be it. To transcend the limitations of earth suits and truly be His workmanship, created for His glory. First Peter 4:19, He's our creator. Isaiah 28:5, He's our crown of beauty. Luke 1:78, He's our dayspring. Romans 11:26, He's our deliverer. Haggai 2:7, He's desired of all nations. Isaiah 28:5, He's the diadem of beauty. John 10:7, He's the door. Psalm 91, He's our dwelling place. Isaiah 42:1, He's the elected one. Matthew 1:23, Emmanuel. Revelation 21:6, He's the end. Deuteronomy 33:27, eternal God. 1 John 5:20, eternal life. Hebrews 9:14, eternal spirit. Isaiah 9:6, everlasting Father. Genesis 21:33, everlasting God. Psalm 148:13, excellent. Revelation 19:11, faithful and true. Revelation 1:5, faithful witness. Matthew 6:9, Father. Romans 8:29, Colossians 1:15, Revelation 1:5, firstborn. 1 Corinthians 15:20 through 23, first fruits. Jeremiah 16:19, fortress. 1 Corinthians 3:11, foundation. We can live a lifetime on just that. And that's just the beginning of our provision in Him. We live and move and have our being. In Him, in Him. Do you understand when we take energy and talk about negative earthly circumstances, we deny him the glory of that moment. In him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. And if we pull our humanity out of his presence, of course we're going to have difficulty. We just planted us without him. In him, we draw our breath and understanding. In him, our strength and our preparation. In him, our liberty and our divine provision. We don't have to practice saying only good words. All we have to do is spend time in him, and only goodness will come out of us. Because the more we spend time with him, the more childlike we become. And when people say, Brenda, you look just like your father. Thank you. Thank you. You look just like your brother. Thank you. We have the same DNA. Deliverance, nurturing, and authority. When I said, yes, Jesus, I was so perfectly grafted and adopted into the body of Christ, into the family of the living God, that he changed my DNA. It doesn't mean just DNA. It means divinity. It means nobility. It means authority. He's changed natural human chemical makeup into his DNA. And so in him, that's where our life is, really and truly. In him, that's where our strength and our direction and our comfort and our clarity and our provision comes from. In him, we have the commission to go into all the world. Separate of him, we don't have anything much. Body's made of 93% water and the rest dust and bone. Or just dust. And a little blood, just for earth purposes. And God purposes. Jeremiah 2:13, he's the fountain of living waters. That river you saw. Living waters coursing through this place. How deep is it going to get? You want to swim on top? You want to float? Or you want to dive in? That river of living waters coursing from the fountain of God through this place. Matthew 11:19, he's our friend. 1 Kings 19:2, he's a gentle whisper. John 4:10, he's the gift of God. Isaiah 45, glory. Genesis 1:1, God. Genesis 17:1, Almighty. Isaiah 54:5, God of the whole earth. Romans 9:5, God over all. Psalm 144:2, goodness. John 10:11, good shepherd. Psalm 22:28, governor. Hebrews 4:14, great high priest. Hebrews 13:20, great shepherd. Psalm 48:14, guide. We're here to rule and reign as kings and priests in the earth. Not separate from the throne, not separate from the word. Do you really want that authority on your own? In him, in him, in him. I don't have great faith. I have a great God. On a scale of 1 to 10, I think I'm operating in this much faith compared to what I will operate in. I think I'm at 0.5. I don't think I even walk in 1 yet. That's how much I know is available to come. I can see it raging like floodwaters into my world. And I'm just not sure yet if I should stand there with a cup, a bucket, my mouth open, or just be ready to swim. I just know that it's a rain like none other that has hit the earth in history. Hunger for signs and wonders is stewarded by an intimate pursuing of God. You know what a steward is. A steward is somebody who helps you in your needs. And hunger, spiritual hunger, is stewarded, it's helped along in us by intimate pursuing of God. Does God snore? Sleep? Rest? Does he ever stop creating worlds without end? I don't think so. Intimate pursuing. Intentional pursuing God. Chase him. Run to him. You've seen kids run full speed and take a flying leap into the arms of somebody safe for them. My little six-year-old granddaughter, Sidel, Miss Sidel. Oh, she'll just wait. She comes with her mom to pick us up at the airport, and she'll just wait until I've crossed the street, and wherever she's at, she'll run full speed, and she'll leap from way far out, and she'll always end up right in my arms. And then she'll give me this earth-shattering hug where I could walk a block and I wouldn't have to hold on to her. She's just attached. And she buries her face in my neck right here. And she just hugs until all her energy is spent. And I hug her right back. And it's whatever time I was gone, in that hug, we've caught up with each other. And all the time that we missed each other, in that hug, it's all back. And we're right where we're meant to be. And she always says, this is the best day ever. And we don't do anything. We're just hugging. But we've caught up with one another. And she's so intentional about it. And I can see it coming on her face. I can see the light of her eyes. I know exactly where they park because I can see the light emanating from Sidel's anticipation of hugging me. And when Miss Sidel becomes airborne, I don't run to her like, oh my God, that's a really far distance for her to fly. I just stand there and hold out my arms, and she always lands perfectly in my arms. That's the intentional pursuit of God that he would love to have from you and I today. That intimate intentional pursuing of God. And you can just hold on and you can just rest in the crook of his neck and you can smell his scent and you can feel his pulse. And you can just hang there until you're spent. And when you're spent and you're ready to let go, he'll hold on a little bit longer just to make sure when he puts you down, your feet are going to touch the ground safely. And he'll say, "This is the best day ever." And you'll have received everything you need for your day, for yourself, and for everybody you're going to meet that day. That privilege is ours. It's who we are. And I would just encourage you to run to God. Intentionally pursue a real-time hug from Father. Intentionally hold on with everything you've got and hang on his neck and nuzzle into his shoulder and breathe his scent, and you'll get the answer to your life's questions, and you'll get the direction for your day. You'll get the healing, you'll get the strength, you'll get the stamina, you'll get the renewing. You'll get everything you need for this moment. Not just for you, but for everybody you meet. Our prayer time, the significance of our prayer time becomes the influence we have in society. When we spend time with the Lord, what happens in that prayer time with God literally transforms through the life of Jesus in you by the power of the Holy Spirit and becomes the influence that you have in society. Now, I want you to think about the way we live, our society, the world we live in. And I want you to anticipate the changes you want to see happen in our society. And I want you to understand the significance of the change you have in society comes from the significance of time in prayer. You've heard, be the change you want to see happen. The influence of that change through your life happens from your personal quiet time in prayer. If you spend a few moments just intimately hugged up to God, and you let everything that he has course through you, then when you pick up your Bible and you read, Revelation pops like corn on the stove. You don't have to seek it. It's just a byproduct of intimate relationship. If you curl up next to God and you purposefully pursue hanging on him for every word he has to speak, you don't have to wonder where you're going to go. You're just going to know, where I go is where I end up. It's where I'm supposed to be. You don't have to define it. There's a liberty that comes. It doesn't mean you become a person of disorder. It means you become a person of divine order, and it becomes so natural for you to be at the right place at the right time, you just can't explain it to anybody. You just know you're always in the right place at the right time. That's something you might start speaking over yourself just when you're finished brushing your teeth in the morning. You know, brush your teeth, rinse, spit, look in the mirror and go, I'm obedient to the word of God, sensitive to the Holy Spirit's voice, and I am in the right place at the right time. all the time. Smile. Oh, yeah, I like you. There you are. And go out for your day. We are not a mistake or an accident. We are a divine on purpose. And it's time for us to believe that of ourselves. If you need understanding where you're going to get it, don't ask me. I don't know. I know the guy who does. I call him Father, Dad, God, Almighty. But you know him too. And you'll get a much clearer answer if you'll ask him yourself. Because he speaks your language perfectly. And I speak it haphazardly. I'm not saying we're not going to give answers one to another, but I'm going to say every answer that we get from each other will be direct confirmation of what God has just told us. And we're going to walk in a bigger, larger, greater confidence than ever before. He's the head of the body, the head of the church, heir of all things, our hiding place, the highest high priest forever, and Holy Ghost. He's in us. And he wants to use us as an instrument of praise and glory for him in the earth. He's our Holy One, the Holy One of Israel, our Holy Spirit, our hope, our horn of salvation, and our husband. He's our whole purpose for being. So I want you to take a moment. And I want you to allow yourself to envision yourself running full speed into the arms of God. And I want you to allow yourself to feel what it feels like to take that flying leap in the air and know he's got you. And I want you to feel his arms around you, holding you. And I want you to allow yourself to nuzzle into the crook of his neck and smell his scent. And take a breath of eternity. Breathe in the great I am. And know that it's a perfect day. And everything that you need, you can receive of him all day long for yourself and everybody you meet. So no matter what you do for your occupation, no matter what your plan, your purpose, or your hopes and dreams, it doesn't matter. You'll be perfect in them. If you will take the joy of that embrace of Father God with you throughout your day, I'm telling you, you're going to enjoy the most amazing things in life. And you'll be able to do odd things, hard things, intricate things, messy things, neat things, and they'll all feel the same because it will be the same joy that carries you. It will be the same glory of your life giving praise to the Father. And I had a little bit of a revelation the other day. I was talking to a friend of mine and she was talking about some affliction that she was dealing with, and I said, you know, I'm about to thank Satan for trying to attack me so much. And she said, what? And I said, all it ever does is remind me to run to Father God faster than I was already going. And I said, I'm about to thank the devil for trying to afflict me, because all it did was make me run faster and jump higher into the arms of my Father. And she said, I've never seen that. And I said, me neither, just now. And so we were some miles apart, and we decided to run together. And as we're on the phone with each other, I took off running in the spirit, and so did she. And I physically felt a double arm catch from God and felt her presence next to me as he held on to us. And we started giggling over the phone. And I was like, I'm nuzzled into his left shoulder. And she said, I'm on the right. And all the sickness and adversity she had been feeling just left. And when we felt like, oh, we're back on earth, she said, I've never had that happen. She said, I was asking for healing, but when I jumped into the arms of Father, I just wanted him. I forgot all about what I thought I needed. And she said, but now I'm fine. I'm like, cool. Thank you, Jesus. And we call it prayer. Run into the arms. He won't drop us. He won't. He'll just love and hold and reassure. So what do you want to do in the earth? Because the influence and impact that you will have on society is determined by the significance of your relationship with God in prayer. If you feel like you have to pray, we need to give you a shift today. You get to pray. And if you feel like you have to be something, we need to change your perspective. You get to be whatever you want. I have another friend who said she had this dream, and she said in this dream, she said, out of her left shoulder blade, a wing sprouted. A huge angel wing sprouted. And she said, I don't know what to do with one wing. And I said, well, you can hold on to me because I think I got the other one. And together we can kind of come into high places until our other wing comes along. We can help each other. And she said, wow. That's a picture of unity in the body of Christ, isn't it? And I said, I think it might be. And she said, here we're waiting to have all provision by ourselves, independent of one another. But if we just hook arms, hold on to each other, we can go there together. I'm like, wow, I didn't have that dream, but I sure do feel it. And so then I started going, Lord, are we going to sprout wings I don't know about? And he said, well, you do want to fly. And I said, well, I do love flying. And he started giggling, and I'm like, okay. It doesn't even matter. The fact that he's telling me I'm going to fly is enough for me. It's enough for me. And I want it to be enough for you today. Take the word of God, your Bible. Consume it, partake of it, taste it, feel it, digest it, know it, rehearse it, speak it. Go through your house with an itty-bitty fine-tipped pencil and start writing scriptures along the foundation of your home in itty-bitty-bitty words. Change the foundation of where you live. What if you did that? If you don't want to do it on the inside of your house, try the outside. There's a testimony. What's he doing? Oh, that's my husband David. He's writing scriptures around the foundation of where we live today. How far has he gotten? About a foot and a half. He's writing really small. How long has he been doing that? 6 months. Why is he doing that? He's rebuilding the foundation of where we live for our peace and tranquility. I don't know where that came from, but I think we should try it. I think that's another thing I'm going to go home and do. Get an itty-bitty fine lead pencil. It doesn't matter if the words really show up or not. But start writing the foundation of the Word of God around the foundation of your home. Doesn't matter if you own it, rent it, are buying it, or inherited it. Doesn't matter at all. But when you're doing that, something's happening in the spirit realm that pertains to the blessings of that building where you dwell. We don't think of being weird like that unless we're me or some of you. But I'll walk it out. I'll always act it out. I'll always try it. I'll always do it because I got that picture for a reason. And there's something of healing and dominion in acting that out. So today, the rest of this day, whatever God wants to do, let's do it with the realest me I can be is how I want to live the rest of this day. The most authentic me I can be, because God didn't make a mistake when he called me. He didn't make a mistake when he saved me. So right where I'm at, this is the most powerful, most authoritative, most magnificent day of my entire life thus far. And I want to enjoy every moment of it without fear or obligation, with privilege and liberty. And I give the same to you. If today were the last day of your life, what would you do with it? And what if today's the first day of your life? What will you do with it? But since the spiritual world is not stuck in time, it's a day in your life, and it says 1,000 years. That means every second has impact. Every second is on purpose. Every second is ordered by the Lord. Every moment, every breath, every beat of your heart is on purpose. Purposed by God to be here in the earth right now for humanity. So we're Earth-like. We're human-ish. We're sort of people-like. In our divineness. So when you're jumping into the arms of Father, ask him, what do we get to do? Miss Adele says, Grandma, I need to do something fun. And that means it's going to cost me so much money and this much energy. And if she says, Grandma, I need to do something fun, I know it's going to cost me this much money and this much energy. But if she says, Grandma, I can tell by the tone of her voice, what are we going to do today that's fun? And I know, just turn everything else in my life off and give her my full attention and whatever she wants to do, because that girl has a plan. And if I'll walk it out with her, we will have the most extravagant, glorious, childlike day that we've ever had before. And we'll get into, David and Sadell and I will get into this rancorous laughter. And we'll all three become six. And we'll just hoot and holler and giggle and tell stories and tell jokes and make up things and do dances and run. And it's always the best day. And I want you to be able to do that with God. And maybe it's a fun day for you, and maybe it's a fun day, and maybe it's a fun day. But whichever it is that you need, please enjoy it with everything that's in you, every second, every breath, every heartbeat. Because it's not accidental, it's on purpose. And God wants to do something in us and through us today. I don't know what it is. I'm not sure I care what it is. I just know that it's on purpose with Him. So Father, whatever you want to do, we take this time and we yield it to you. We give it to you that your kingdom come, your will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. That you would give us this day our portion and forgive us our frailties, our transgressions and sin. And remind us to fully and completely forgive others. And we thank you for the privilege. Thank you for the privilege. I don't know if you've touched your face or anything, your hair, anything, but as my lips started burning the first time I touched them, and I've been having to wipe this little oil off them ever since. The anointing of God and the anointing that He's placed in you, they're coursing through your veins, they're coursing through your body today. And expect that anointing to rise and increase. And don't be surprised if you leave oily fingerprints for a bit. But let it become a part of you today, as you remember that it's in Him we live, move, and have our being. That's where we find our joy, our strength, our divine provision, the majesty of God invading our space. It's His anyway.